Psalms 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You are about listening to a message from the audio archive of Heaven's Glory. Remain blessed.
Mendekate si ketelika akon telite sika ataka barua tanamata. We thank you, Jesus, for your benefits that we enjoy on a daily basis. Kai selate konte kita ata salita tondile kita kabaya. You have never left us without a witness. You have never left us without help. You have never left us helpless. God, Lord, we give you praise. Selemonte akai delonte sita atanga lititiko bekabatata. Father, we give you praise. We bless your holy name. Thank you for another time of refreshing, O God, in your word. Thank you for another time to learn, O God, at your feet this morning. Cecilia Tetominka Atatabalataya. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, it is done. Somebody shout a big amen. Hallelujah. So let's be reminded that our theme for this month of November is what? Chariots of what? Of fire. Hallelujah. Chariots of salvation, rather. Hallelujah. But the theme for our mountain experience, which is next week, is Chariots of what? Of fire. Hallelujah. But the theme for this month, which is the month of November, in our family and in Heaven's Glory Church of God, is what? Is Chariots of Salvation. Hallelujah. And on Friday, which was the first Friday in the month, we were able to consider that theme. And we saw a whole lot of what it means, of what salvation means, isn't it? We said the word salvation is the process of God's sovereign act of liberation, deliverance, freedom, prosperity, healing, and what have you. We said in essence that when a man who was previously bound by sicknesses and diseases was healed by the power of God, or that man was healed by medical attention, it means that he has experienced what salvation. We said when someone who has been held captive by his past and by the sin of his youth, or held captive by any form of addiction and oppression from the pit of hell, and that same person was delivered and set free from that bondage, that same person has also experienced what? The salvation of the Lord. We talked about the prodigal son. We talked about Zacchaeus. We also talked about the deaf and dumb child that was delivered. Hallelujah. We said that whatever it is that you desire from the Lord and God answered or gave it to you is called salvation. Hallelujah. In essence, the process by which God came through for you is called salvation. We also said that when God changes our level or turns again our captivity, that means we have experienced his what is salvation. Hallelujah. When God turns our sorrow into joy, we have experienced his salvation. Hallelujah. When God turns our mourning into dancing, we have also experienced his salvation. Hallelujah. We said when God turns the barren into a fruitful mother of children, that's salvation. And we give all scriptural references to all these points. Hallelujah. We said God brought salvation through his son Jesus Christ, isn't it? We spoke about Simeon. He said, "Now let thy servant to depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast promised unto all people." Simeon came into the temple by the Spirit of God to witness the salvation that God has promised, because God said that he was not going to die until he saw, until he sees Jesus, who is this. So we said God brought salvation through his son Jesus Christ. And we still said that God is still bringing salvation through his son Jesus Christ, because there are many, the provision for salvation has been made. Hallelujah. But there are many who have not yet what? Who have not yet born again. Hallelujah. God has already made the provision for salvation, but there are many who are not yet born again. So in essence, there are many who have not yet received Jesus Christ. In essence, God is still bringing salvation, hallelujah, through his son, Jesus Christ, hallelujah.
Welcome.
And not only that, God is also bringing salvation through everyone that are Christ, hallelujah. We say God has brought salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. God is still bringing salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And God is also using those who have been born again, who are now saved, and who are now agents of salvation. There are people who are agents of salvation. God is using them to also bring salvation. Hallelujah. We saw that Peter was an agent of salvation. We saw how Saul, who became Paul, was an agent of salvation. You see, for thus has the Lord said unto us, I have set you as a light of the Gentiles, and that you should be for salvation towards to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So God brought salvation through Jesus Christ. God is still bringing salvation through that same Jesus Christ and through everyone that are of Christ. Hallelujah. For as the Father has sent me, so send I you. We know God even used to bring salvation through angels. Hallelujah. Because we said that salvation is not just restricted to the salvation of our soul, but that is the most important. Are we there? Now, whenever a man who was sick received his healing, what has that man experienced? Salvation, isn't it? Someone who was barren, when that person receives what? Her children conceives and bears a child, she has also received salvation. Hallelujah. So God can also bring salvation through an angel. Hallelujah. God can send a messenger. For instance, it was an angel that God used to bring the salvation to the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Hallelujah. You know that they were barren, isn't it? Then God sent, he said, I am Gabriel, isn't it? God sent the angel Gabriel, isn't it? To tell Zechariah that his prayers have been answered and that his wife is going, Elizabeth is going to conceive. So we see that God can also send angel to bring about salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We now said that the challenge is that because of the limitations in men, and should I say because of some interference in the part of angels also, hallelujah, salvation that God wants to bring may be hindered. Hallelujah. You remember that God wanted to save the Gentiles, and the first person God showed it to, the first man that God showed that his intention was Peter, isn't it? We read it in Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, isn't it? And Peter was now telling God that what? That he as a Jew should not have anything to do with a Gentile. He himself as a Jew should not have anything to do with the Gentiles. And God was telling him, I'm just giving an interpretation of the vision. God was telling him, what I have clean, don't call unclean. Don't call it common. Hallelujah. Because he told him, Peter, arise and eat. Hallelujah. I'm just giving a recap of what we learned in order for us to build on what we are about, what the Lord wants us to know this morning. Hallelujah. So I said that the challenge that God has whenever he wants to bring salvation to a man is that there could be a limitation in that man that will hinder the perfect work of God, hallelujah, from being accomplished, the undiluted and perfect, you know, will of God's salvation from coming to pass, hallelujah. There could also be interferences. Everybody say with me, interferences. There could also be interferences in the part of what? Of an angel. When God sends an angel to wrought salvation. Hallelujah. We saw that in Daniel chapter 10, from verse 10 to 14. That from the first day Daniel began to what? Make that prayer. What happened? His prayers were heard. And when angel Gabriel wanted to bring the answer to Daniel, he was withheld. He was hindered. He was stopped. He was, you know, how will I put it? He was intercepted by a wicked prince of Bashan. Hallelujah. It was when Michael came, that was when Michael was able to deliver and to rescue him from their grip, from their captivity, in order for him to bring that same answer to Daniel. Hallelujah. So we saw that when God wants to bring salvation through a man, when God wants to bring, there could be what limitation in that man, and that limitation may hinder the perfect work of God's salvation. Whenever God wants to also bring salvation through an angel, there could be interferences, isn't it? On the part of that angel, there could be interferences on the part of that angel from what? Accomplishing what God wants to what? Wants to do, hallelujah, on earth or in the life of individuals, hallelujah. So when God sees that there could be limitation in, or there could be challenge whenever he wants to send or wrought his salvation through men, when he sees that there could be interferences whenever he wants to send an angel to wrought salvation, isn't it? What will he do? He will decide to do it by himself. Everybody say me, God will decide to do it by himself. Yes, so there are times that God knows that if he sends somebody, or if he sends an angel, if he sends somebody, if he sends a man, the limitation, the tradition, the mentality, the mindset, the limitations of that man may hinder what he wanted to do. Hallelujah. Whenever God sends an angel and he discovers that there could be interferences on the part of that angel to hinder what he wants to do, what will he do? He will go by himself. He will do the work by himself. And we saw that in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16. This is a recap, but I just want us to go. Let's look at that verse again before we continue. Isaiah chapter 59. So when God discovers that, if I send a man, there could be challenge, and there is a limitation in this man that will hinder my work, or even if the work is done, it will not be done in a way that I will look at it and say, it is very good. Hallelujah. You know, in the beginning, when God was doing all the work of creation, whenever he looked at it, he said it was good. It was good and very good. Hallelujah. So when God knows that if he sends a man, it will not be, the work that he wants to do may be achieved, but it may not be achieved to that point that he will look at it and see it is good. Hallelujah. Whenever he sends a man and he discovers that because of the limitation in that man, that work may not be done, or that work may be done, but may not be done to his taste, to his standard, to his pattern, according to his perfect commandments. Or whenever he sends an angel and to wrought salvation and he discovers that there will be interferences, because there is nothing that takes God by surprise. There will be interferences on the part of that angel from bringing his work to pass, or from bringing it to pass in a way that whenever he looks at it, he will say it is very good. What will he do? He will do the work by himself. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 16, the Bible said that, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. So there are times that whenever God sees that this is what is about to happen, what will he do? He will what? He will do it by himself. He will rob the salvation by himself. Now, we said that other times, God can what? God can come alone to do the work. Hallelujah. There are times that God can come alone to do the work of salvation. Hallelujah. And there are times that what? He will not come alone. He will come with a host of heaven. He will come with his heavenly entourage. Hallelujah. He will come with other, heavenly and angelic being to do his work. Hallelujah. And remember, I was telling us that when one person wants to do something and he's not going to be as effective or as fast. I'm not saying that whenever God does something, it will not be effective. Are you getting it? But there are times that when God wants to do a very terrible and quick work, hallelujah, what he does is that he comes with what? With the community of himself. There is what they call the community of the Godhead. Hallelujah. He comes with both himself, his son, his spirit, and a host of heavenly beings. Hallelujah. So whenever God comes like that, whenever God comes with an entourage of himself, whenever God comes with heavenly hosts, whenever he comes with other beings, other emissaries, heavenly emissaries, other agents in order to do his work, that is what we refer to as his chariots of what? Of salvation. Everybody say with me, chariots of salvation. And again, we're praying that Friday, and we said that there are some situations that you need to tell God that, God, I know that in this situation you can send a man to salvage it. In this situation, I know you can send an angel to solve it. I know that even in this situation, when you speak to it, it will disappear. When you look towards this aspect of my life, it will be no more. When you stand up for my sin because of this thing, I know that the salvation, my salvation has come. But I don't just want you to send a man alone. I don't just want you to send an angel. In fact, God, I don't even want you to come alone. I want you to come to the point that the whole world will know that this is God. Hallelujah. I want you to come with an entourage of yourself. I want you to come with the community of yourself. I want you to come with the host of your angels. I want you to come with heavenly being to bear witness that you want to do this work and do it quick. Whenever God comes with an entourage, whenever God comes not alone, but comes with the heavenly host, to save, to deliver, to heal. That host that is coming with in order to do his work and his strange work and to bring to pass his act, his strange act. That host that God is coming with to do a quick work is called what is called chariots of what? Of salvation. Nata sisi lamantala. Because when he comes with a host of himself, I tell you, the work will be done quickly. The work will be done. At the snap of a finger, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when God comes with the chariot of his salvation, that work is done. Somebody say with me, chariots of salvation. Now, we need to understand that there is a day called the day of salvation. Everybody say with me, a day of salvation. Say with me, the day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 1, there is what the Bible refers to as the day of salvation. Hallelujah. There is a day you got admission to school. Hallelujah. There is a day you got your new car. Hallelujah. There is a day you got married. And there is a day you got what? You got your new house. There is a day you traveled. Hallelujah. And there was a day you arrived safely. Hallelujah. There is every day that you see the goodness of God is a day of salvation. Every day that the Lord changes your level. The day you got married, hallelujah, what did God do? God changed your level. That day is also a day of salvation for you, hallelujah. The day you got admission to school, that day is the day that God changed your what, your status, hallelujah. That day is also what, the day of salvation for you. The day you got a new house, that is the day that God changed your level, isn't it? From being a what, tenant to what, to becoming a landlord, that day is also the day of salvation for you. Yes, and many other examples. The day you got your own company, that day is also the day of salvation for you, because God has changed your level from being an employee into an employer. Hallelujah. From the day you got your new job, that day is also a day of salvation for you. Why? Because God changed your level from being jobless to become a gainful, a job owner. Hallelujah. So there is a day of salvation, and it is that day that God changes your level. But we must understand that the most important of all those days, which is called the day of salvation, the day that God changed your level, the day that God turned again your captivity, the day you got a new car, the day you got you got married, the day you got your new house, the day you got admission, the day you got a job, those days are called what, the day of salvation. The day you were healed, the day you were delivered, the day you were, you were strengthened. Those days are called what, days of salvation. But the most important of all those days is the day of the salvation of your soul. Hallelujah. Because that is the most important. The most important day is the day of the salvation of your soul. The day that you got born again is the day, or is the most important day of what, of salvation, because that day is the day of the salvation of your soul. Selikonteli kaskabalata balataya. And you must understand that what triggered that day of salvation, what brought that day of salvation, was that you believed that day. When they preached Jesus Christ to you, that he came and he died just to set you free, to wash you clean from your sins, and you believed and accepted it, the work of salvation was what was wrought. The work of salvation was done in your life that day. Hallelujah. So that means it is the day that you believe that is now the day of your salvation. In essence, the day you believe God for anything, the day you believe God for a new job, the day you believe God for a new house, the day you believe God for your healing, the day you believe God for your freedom, the day you believe God for your child, for your admission, the day you believe God for your degree, for your master's degree, the day you believe God for a change of level, that day is the day of your what? Of your salvation. Because we said the most important day in our life is the day of the salvation of our soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is the most important day that we must want, we must cherish, the day of the salvation of our soul. There are days that God will give you car. There are days that you will get. There is a day you will definitely get married. There's a day you definitely get your new house. There's a day you definitely get your new job. There's a day you definitely get your business. There's a day that God will definitely change your level. But it's not as important as that day, which is called the day of the salvation of your soul. Because if God changes your level, if God gives you a new car, if God gives you, if you receive, if you got married, if you got your new house, all these are salvations. And if all these are there without the salvation of your soul, at the end of it, you will discover that war has been every of these things. Hallelujah. War has been to you. Hallelujah. Because all these things will perish in their using. All these things will perish in their using. But someone who is born again, the Bible, and lives by the word of God, will abide forever. And you know the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth for what? Forever. So there is a day that God will change your level. There is a day you will get married. There is a day you will get a new car. There is a day you will be in your new house. There is a day you will get your admission. There is a day you will get your new job. There is a day you will get your business. There is a day of healing. There is a day. All these days are days of salvation. But the most important day of salvation is when? Is the day of the salvation of your soul. And we said that that day came to light. That day became a reality because you did what? Because you believed. That day became a reality because you did what? Because you believed. That day became a reality because you did what? Because you believed. In 2 Corinthians, let's not forget, what did I say? I said there is a day of what? Of salvation. Everybody say with me, there is a day of salvation. There is a day of salvation. So we are looking at the day of what? Of salvation. Salibalata balataya. There is a day of salvation. There is a day of salvation. Manteli tesilatabai. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, are we there? From verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible said, it says, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. He said, for he said, I have had thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So there is the day of salvation, and that day of salvation is now. That day of salvation is the day you believe, because the Bible says faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there is a day of salvation, and now is the day of salvation. Behold, now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So when you believe, that day is the day of salvation for you. And you remember what we said in Romans chapter 10, isn't it? That how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, isn't it? In Romans chapter 10, for verse 10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, isn't it? Isn't it? So the day you believe, the day you accept in your heart that whatever verdict God has for you is true, that is the day you will enter into the reality of the same. Hallelujah. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, isn't it? Verse 10. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11. He said, for the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He now said, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He now says in verse 13, he said, that's Romans 10, 13. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Hallelujah. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hallelujah. Silekota la basilite benata. So how will you believe if you don't what? If you don't hear? And how will you hear if we don't preach? And how shall they preach if we are not sent? Hallelujah. So as the sent ones are preaching and as you hear, what are you to do? You are to believe. And when you believe, what are you to do? You are to call. Because the Bible says, with the heart man believeth. It didn't stop there. It now says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That is when you now confess, that is when you now enter into what? Into the salvation of whatsoever the agents of God who were sent from God came to tell you, you had it, you believed it, and then you now what? You now begin to declare it. Hallelujah. So there is a day of salvation. And that day is the day you believed. But it was as a result of the sent ones coming to give you the message of God, isn't it? You had it, you held on to it, and then you began to what? You began to confess it. Say with me, Lord, I believe that today is my day of salvation. Say, Lord, I believe that today is my day of salvation. Lord, I believe that today is my day of salvation. Hallelujah. So whenever you believe, when the message of God is coming to you, there are some times that I want to do something. What I go to do is that I go to get familiarized, or I familiarize myself, or I listen to testimonies, I listen to what God has done concerning this aspect, or I ask people, how did you do it? How did you understand? And when they begin to tell me, the faith and the grace to also get it done is released. Sometimes it could be through books that you read. Sometimes it could be through messages that you heard. Sometimes it could be through testimony that was shared. Sometimes it could also be through contact, physical contact with those who have done it, direct contact with those who God have done it, and then you want to hear how it happened. In 1 Thessalonians, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So there is a day of salvation. There are some of us that we need to cry out, just like that man whose child was deaf and dumb, that, Lord, I believe. But in case what I call faith, what I call belief, is not up to standard, help my words, my own belief. Hallelujah. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, let's read there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of what? Of salvation. Hallelujah. It says, let us who are of the day, hallelujah, be sober. Isn't it? So there is a kind of lifestyle that anyone who has hope for God's salvation, he will live, isn't it? There is a kind of lifestyle that anybody who is hoping for the salvation of the Lord will have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard that they were preaching to, is it Bob Risky? Or that one that is a man but is dressing like a woman, that cross dresser. They were preaching to him. Do you know what he told the preacher? He told the preacher that they shouldn't preach to him, that he has removed himself from anything called heavenly race. So you can see that his lifestyle is showing that he does not ever have any hope for salvation. His lifestyle shows that what? He does not have any hope of what? Of salvation. In fact, they were preaching to him, and he even said it on his social media page, that they shouldn't bother to preach to him, that he has removed himself from what? From heavenly race. May the Lord look upon him with mercy and just know that he has. And then he will know that what he is saying is not just saying by his own decision. He has so deep, and the devil is now manifesting bodily through him. I see salvation reaching him in the name of Jesus Christ. Reaching him that has become her in the name of Jesus Christ. Abomination. Hallelujah. A man deciding to look like a woman. Hallelujah. They call them cross-dressers. So there is a kind of lifestyle that anyone who hopes for the salvation of the Lord has, isn't it? What? And the Bible is letting us know here that we that are of the day should be sober. I hope we know the meaning of this word to be sober. That's chapter 8. That's verse 8, rather. Verse 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, But let us who are of the day be sober. What does it mean to be sober? It means to hope to be clear-minded. Hallelujah. It means to be clear-minded. You must ensure that you don't give offense to anyone, to any. To be sober means to be clear-minded. You are not offended in your heart with anybody. You are not angry. There are people that today, they cannot boast that they are not. There is somebody that they are angry with. Some of them are angry with their parents. Some of them are angry with their husband. Some of them are angry with their wife. Some of them are angry with their relatives. Some of them are angry with their pastor. Some of them are angry with their boss. Some of them are angry with a colleague. Some of them are angry with a friend. If you live such a life, you are not living a life that shows that you have hope for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because if the trumpet sound today, you are not making heaven. That your anger will keep you down. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, forgive us this day, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. So to be sober means to be clear-minded. Can you say that in your heart you don't have any issue with anybody? Can you say that from the depth of your heart you are not angry with somebody? There are some people that are so angry with others. I saw that in Ekiti here. I don't know, maybe it's in Ekiti here or somewhere, that a young guy killed, they were cohabiting together in the compound, and the guy killed the girl. And at the end of the day, we discovered that he killed her because she was cheating on him with another guy. So that was why the guy killed the girl. And then we saw how police came to handcuff him, and even the compound, his compound people, they were just using stick. They wanted to even kill him. Thank God for the police people that came. It was the police people that came that were stopped. Even with the police people there, they were still using stick, using all kinds of things to hit the young man. They wanted to mob him. Hallelujah. Thank God for the police that came. They just handcuffed him and tried to take him away from that place. So there is a lifestyle of anyone who has hope for salvation. And we must be what? We must be sober. To be sober means to be clear-minded. Okay, put your hands. Keep this 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's go back to our 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We finished verse 2. We said that what? That for he said, I have had thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is what? The day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then verse 3, what did he say? He said, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not plain. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in patience, in affliction, in necessity, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumor, in labor, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left hand, by honor, by dishonor, by evil report, and by good report, as divisible as yes, true, as unknown, yet well known, isn't it? As dying, and behold, we live; as chasing, and not killed; as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing; as poor, yet making many rich; as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Remember in verse 3, he said, immediately he said that word, for now is the appointed time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What did he say? He said, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So in that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that let us therefore who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So those who have hope of salvation, there's a kind of lifestyle that they live. Hallelujah. And they must be sober. To be sober means to be what? To be clear-minded. You are giving no offense in anything so that the ministry may not be what? May not be blamed. You are clear-minded. You don't have any issue with anybody. Even if they want to have with you, you have decided not to have with them. That the ministry be not or be not blamed. Let us therefore, hallelujah, be clear-minded. You have to be sober. You have to be clear-minded. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, let us be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Hallelujah. So those who hope for the salvation of the Lord must also what? Be sober, isn't it? They must also put on the breastplate of faith. Hallelujah. I remember we said that it is good for a man to both hope and patiently wait on the what? On the salvation of the Lord. I think we said such all that in last month's teaching, isn't it? So we see that there is a kind of lifestyle that anyone who hopes for the salvation of the Lord lives or has. You must be sober. You must also put on the breastplate of what? Of faith. And love, isn't it? Hallelujah. And for an helmet, what? The hope of salvation, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain what? To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But for God has not appointed us unto wrath. We are not those that God has appointed. We are not children of perdition. Hallelujah. We know where we are going to. That is why we will maintain the lifestyle that will take us there. I see God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. We know where we are going to. You see, for God has not appointed us unto what? Verse 9. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to what? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know where we are going to. That's why we will maintain the lifestyle that will take us, that will keep us and also take us there. Can we rise to our feet and begin to thank God for His word this morning? Yes, Jesus, Alaba, come to see the teller. Come on, can we begin to pray that the lifestyle and the culture that is required for us to get to where God is taking us to shall abound in our life? Come on, can we pray? We decree that the lifestyle that is required for where we are going to shall continually reign, shall continually abide in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, for God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive grace to live the lifestyle that we think us, that we catapult us to where the Lord is taking us to, that we make us worthy, that we make us qualified for where God is taking us to. We know where He's taking us to. Yes, He said, for God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let us therefore be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of what? Of salvation. Those who hope for the salvation of the Lord have a particular kind of lifestyle. They love, they believe God, they live by faith. They are sober, they give no offense in anything that the ministry of Jesus, that the ministry that we have been called will not be blamed. Yes, Sisiko Balatesa Sila Alamata Kola. Rete Kapeta Sesia Tabalata Seletekita Balataya. And we decree that today is our day of salvation. Now is our appointed time. Behold, now is our day of salvation, because we have heard, we have believed, because we who are sent have gone with the world and have preached it, and we have believed the same, and we are declaring it, and we are seeing the manifestation of the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, Sante Koti, Selimakade, Mende Konte Sikete Balata, Komonte Belete Kita Balata Balataya. Oh, Father, we thank you. Let's begin to magnify the name of the Lord for this morning. Let's thank him for his word that came with power. Lord, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name it is done. Somebody please shout hallelujah. We are not shouting it. Let's shout hallelujah. Glory to God.
Without any contradiction, I believe you've been blessed. Please ensure to keep those things in your heart and be diligent enough to observe them. God bless you.